food. Ani, during the daytime.
Aprita,
engaged.
Arata,
distressing engagement.
Karana,
senses.
Nishi,
at night.
Nishayana,
insomnia.
Nana,
various.
Manorata,
mental speculations.
Diya,
by intelligence.
Chana,
constantly.
Bhagna,
broken.
Nidra,
sleep.
Daiva,
superhuman.
Ahata
arta,
frustrated.
Rachana,
plans.
Rishaya,
great sages.
Api,
also.
Deva,
O
my Lord.
Yusmat,
your lordships.
Prasanga,
topic.
Vimukha,
turned against.
Iha,
in this material world.
Samsaranti,
do rotate.
Translation.
Such non-devotees engage their senses in very troublesome and extensive work, and they suffer insomnia at night because their intelligence constantly breaks their sleep with various mental speculations. They are frustrated in all their various plans by supernatural power. Even great sages, if they are against your transcendental topics, must rotate in this material world. All right, so Prabhupada gives a very long purport to this verse. Obviously he regards it as a very important statement of the Lord Brahma. So if you can just pay attention while we read through, it's actually a page purport. As described in the previous verse, people of no taste for the devotional service of the Lord are occupied in material engagements. Most of them engage during the daytime in hard physical labor. Their senses are engaged very extensively in troublesome duties in the gigantic plants of heavy industrial enterprise. The owners of such factories are engaged in finding a market for their industrial products, and the laborers are engaged in extensive production involving huge mechanical arrangements. Factory is another name for hell. At night, hellishly engaged persons take advantage of wine and women to satisfy their tired senses, but they are not even able to have sound sleep because their various mental speculative plans constantly interrupt their sleep. Because they suffer from insomnia, sometimes they feel sleepy in the morning for lack of sufficient rest. By the arrangement of supernatural power, even the great scientists and thinkers of the world suffer frustration of their various plans and thus rot in the material world birth after birth. A great scientist may make discoveries in atomic energy for the quick destruction of the world and may be awarded the best prize in recognition of his service or disservice. But he also has to undergo the reactions of his work by rotating in the cycle of repeated births and deaths under the superhuman law of material nature. All these people who are against the principle of devotional service are destined to rotate in this material world without fail. This verse particularly mentions that even sages who are averse to the principles of devotional service to the Lord are also condemned to undergo the terms of material existence. Not only in this age, but formerly also, there were many sages who tried to invent their own systems of religion without reference to devotional service to the Supreme Lord. But there cannot be any religious principle without devotional service to the Lord. The Supreme Lord is the leader of the entire range of living entities, and no one can be equal to or greater than him. Even the Lord's impersonal feature and all-pervading localized feature cannot be on an equal level with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, there cannot be any religion or system of genuine philosophy for the advancement of the living entities without the principle of devotional service. The impersonalists who take much trouble in penance and austerity for self-liberation may approach the impersonal Brahmajyoti, but ultimately, because of not being situated in devotional service, they glide down again to the material world to undergo another term of material existence. This is confirmed as follows. Yene ravindaksha vimukta maninas tvayasta bhavat avishuddha budaya aruya kritshrena param param tatap patantyado nadita yuzmat angraya. Persons who are falsely under the impression of being liberated without devotional service of the Lord may reach the goal of the Brahma Jyoti, but because of the impure consciences and for want of shelter in the Vaikuntha locus, such so-called liberated persons again fall down into material existence, Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Therefore, no one can manufacture any system of religion without the principle of devotional service to the Lord, and we find in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the initiator of religious principles is the Lord himself. In Bhagavad Gita also we find that the Lord condemns all forms of religion other than that which entails the process of surrendering unto the Supreme. Any system which leads one to the devotional service of the Lord and nothing else is actually religion or philosophy. In the sixth canto, we find the following statements of Yamaraj, the controller of all unfaithful living entities. Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam na vai viru rishayo napi devaha. Nasida mukya asura manushya kutonyu vididhara charanadaya. Svayambu narada sambu kumara kapilo manu pralado janako bhijmo bali vaishiki vayam. Vada shayite vijanimo dharmam bhagavatam batap. Guyam vishuram durbodam yam gyatvam ritam asnute. Principles of religion are initiated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no one else, including the sages and demigods, can manufacture any such principles, since even great sages and demigods are unauthorized to inaugurate such principles of religion. What to speak of others, the so-called mystics, the demons, human beings, vijayadharas and charanas living in the lower planets, 12 personalities, Brahma, Narada, Lord Shiva, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, Bhishma, Bali, Sukadeva Goswami and Yamaraj are agents of the Lord authorized to speak and propagate the principles of religion, Bhagavatam 6.3.19-21. The principles of religion are not open to any ordinary living entity. They are just to bring the human being onto the platform of morality. Non-violence, etc. necessary for misguided persons because unless one is moral and non-violent, one cannot understand the principles of religion. To understand what is actually a religion is very difficult if one is situated in the principles, even if one is situated in the principles of morality and non-violence. It is very confidential because as soon as one is conversant with the real principles of religion, he is at once liberated to the eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Therefore, one who is not situated in the principles of devotional service of the Lord should not pose himself as a religious leader of the innocent public. The Ishopanishad emphatically forbids this nonsense in the following mantra, Andam tama pravishanti ye sambutim upasate tato buya iva te tamo ya u sambutyam rataha. A person in ignorance of the principles of religion, who therefore does nothing in the matter of religion, is far better than a person who misguides others in the name of religion without reference to the factual religious principles of devotional service. Such so-called leaders of religion are sure to be condemned by Brahma and other great authorities. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Prabhupada, as I said, give a very long purport to this statement of Lord Brahma. And he very much criticizes those who oppose themselves as great leaders, especially of religion, but are not qualified. Not qualified, actually, to present. They are not liberated persons. Prabhupada quite often would refer to that. I heard in many lectures. Someone here at the Palais actually asked him about some big leader in India. And Prabhupada answered them, well, he is not a liberated person, how he can say. So one has to be empowered, one has to be liberated. Of course, ultimately, everything comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when the Lord imparts that knowledge unto you, now, interestingly, there are all different levels of devas and all different levels of rishis. Now, the Maharishis who are empowered from within. They are enlightened by the Supreme Personality of God, just like we find here with Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, in this section and the previous chapter, he was appeared on top of the lotus flower, the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. But of course, he couldn't see anything. He saw the lotus flowers stretching. He was in forgetfulness. I won't say complete ignorance, but he was at least in forgetfulness of his own position and what everything was and what the source of. Naturally, he was inquisitive. What is the source? I am here. Somehow or other, he was forgetful. Just like each one of us, when we go from one life to another, we forget what the former life, what we were in the life before, we forget. Krishna takes away that remembrance, just so you can start again, fresh, new position, go on with your desires. If you were remembering everything, that may be an impediment to your continuing. So Lord Brahma was forgetful. He wanted to understand where everything came from, and we read in the previous chapter how he went down. He went, where is the source? So I'm sitting on top of the lotus flower. Sometimes in South India you can see these very beautiful temples with Lord Vishnu lying and the lotus flower coming from his navel, and then Lord Brahma is on top. Quite a few, especially South India is very popular. I visited, and so he can't even see the Lord beneath in the beginning, and he goes down the stem, searching, but he couldn't come to the source of it all. Even going down, he couldn't come to the source. And another description also is given that as he was going down, the waves of the, because in the navel of the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu there's a great water, which the lotus stem and the lotus flower comes from. And it is said actually the waves from that moving water were lapping on the stem, and they created a sound. So Lord Brahma was going down, still couldn't find the source, but there was a sound vibration. Tapa, tapa. Tapa means what? Do the austerity. In other words, you will not find this way. What is the origin? What is the source? Do the tapasya, do the meditation. So he went back and he sat in the meditation, and everything was revealed to him from within his heart. This is the process of the devotional service, the process of spiritual advancement. It is the revelation when God is pleased with us. A very famous statement by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that don't try to see God, but act in such a way that God, he will want to see you. In the very beginning, when the Lord was enlightening Lord Brahma, he said to him, before you, before any of this, there was only I. None of this was here. Only I was existing. It is my energy that is causing everything. So we have to remain humble position. And Prabhupada points out here, in one section of his purport, that even the greatest minds of the world, the great scientists of the world, and you could say sarcastically, says that they have created, even the great thinkers of the world suffer frustration because they have to experience the birth and death. The great scientists may make discoveries in atomic energy for quick destruction of the world, may be awarded the best prize in recognition. Thank you very much. You have done very well by creating this bomb. And now we can use that thing and destroy so many people. So he is given great recognition. But even the greatest minds, they are still under the stringent laws, by the supernatural, stringent laws of the material nature under Krishna. So no one can... Even they may be very, very intelligent, but still they're under. We have got independence, but our independence, especially in the conditioned stage, even Prabhupada mentions, even spiritually, Even the liberated persons have to follow, actually, in the previous verse, I think that's what, have to follow the rules of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether one is conditioned or whether one is liberated, in this world or in the spiritual world, it is Krishna's will that is supreme. But of course, in the spiritual world, everyone is malleable to Krishna's will, and therefore is a very blissful situation. Krishna's will is supreme. Krishna's will is love. Krishna's will is blissful. Everyone is malleable and in their natural constitutional position, as it should be. But still, they are abiding by the will. They are abiding by the will of the Supreme Personality of God. So even in the liberated stage, and Prabhupada actually puts it, they are abiding by the rules. They are abiding by the rules of the Supreme Personality of God. And in the conditioned state, in this world, oh, there's something extra. You have rules in the spiritual, but there's extra here. And just like sometimes you may go someplace, they have a few rules, and then you go to another place, oh, they got 100 times more rules. You know, so here, 1 million times more rules are here in this world than in the spiritual world. But rules there are, spiritual or material. But in the material world, it's greatly restricted. Because you are, one is, you know, going against the will of the Supreme Lord. And in this way, because trying to act independently, creating a false situation, which is creating all sorts of difficulties, not only for themselves, but for everyone else as well. Just like, you know, if there's a team effort, there's a team effort in a thing. Team effort. Just like if you're rowing, in the, what do they call those things? Rowing down the Yarra over here. Canoe, not canoes. You see them out there in the morning. Huh? Yeah. Anyway, a whole lot of them, they sit in the thing and they row. And they all have to row together, and there's usually one fellow on the head, row, you know, you have to do to the timing and everything like that. Row, row like that. So if one fellow tries to row the other way, we're all rowing like this, but hey, I don't want to be the sheep, I want to be different, I want to be independent, I'll do as I wish, I'll row the other way. That's creating a problem. You will be told, okay, we'll get another person who wants to cooperate, isn't it? So similarly, imagine a whole material world filled with people who are rowing in all sorts of different directions, doing as they please. But by the arrangement of supernatural power, birth after birth, everyone has to rotate, unfortunately, and have to undergo all sorts of tribulations and misidentifying. The problem is, the real problem is that as long as the conditioned soul, Lord Brahma puts it very nicely, as long as the conditioned soul sees the body as meant for sense enjoyment, he cannot get out of the entanglement of material misery. So the whole mentality is, unfortunately, the conditioned soul, the whole mentality is wrong. That's the problem. You can do some, there's all sorts of frustrations and difficulties in the world. I mean, there's enjoyments and there's frustrations and sufferings. And generally people try to reduce the suffering and increase the enjoyment. I want to increase the enjoyment and decrease the suffering. But, you know, not everything is under our control. We have our plan like that. Even ourselves, we want to increase our enjoyment and decrease our suffering. But quite often it's the other way around. I plan to increase my enjoyment, but actually my suffering increased. How is it happening? How is it possible? I've made all the plans, made all the arrangements. In 5 years it'll be like this, in 10 years, everything like that. I was talking to a godbrother of mine who's been married 30, 40 years. He said that when we were newly married, we had all these plans and we were going to save up and get the house and everything like that and make a lot of money and everything like that. But he said, after 30, 40 years, I find I had more money in the beginning than I have now. So, he said, I don't know. We just sit here. So more money in the beginning than I had. I'm heaps in debt before at least I wasn't in debt. But what is the quality of life? I mean to say, you know, like there's so much advancement in science, technology, medicine, this, that, the other, they say. And now we can conquer. But it seems to me there's all sorts of, in medicine, for example, before they were suffering from this disease, and then now they've through the medical advancement, they don't no longer. But there seems to be all sorts of other diseases coming up and other ailments and other problems. It's not that society is free from that. So can we say that with all this effort, and Prabhupada uses the example of huge factories, and he very humorously says, a factory is another name for hell. The owner, people in the material world, they're occupied in so many material engagements, most of them engaged during the daytime in hard physical labor. Their senses are engaged very extensively in troublesome duties in gigantic plants of heavy industrial enterprise. The owners of such factories are engaged in finding a market for their products. Labor is engaged in extensive production involving huge mechanical arrangements, and they have to all day long in these. Of course, not everyone works like that, but so many people have to work like that in so many countries of the world, and long, long hours. So is another name for hell. Of course, their condition. No one really likes having to be on a production line or something like that. Or even if you're the manager or whatever you are, still you have to go in there and work very hard. So then they work very hard, and then at night, because they've worked so hard, here Prabhupada says, they're tired, they try to find relief from drinking, going out. Of course, they have to go to work early, and they by the time they finish work and then get home or whatever. And now in these cities, it's so huge. Everyone knows such huge traffic problem, huge traffic jams, more and more and more. Someone was telling me now. I just came from Jakarta, which is one of these huge sprawling cities. Pollution like anything, and the people, you know, you can't plan. They don't go. You know, when they want to go somewhere, they don't calculate how many kilometers it is. They calculate how many hours it will take to get there, even if it's only 2 kilometers away. Still, the traffic is like that, just like in Mumbai or someplace like that, in Delhi. It's not a question of kilometers or miles. It's a question of how long it will take to go there. So I was there, and we were stuck in the traffic jam. I was from our center in Jakarta. We had got a place in the hills, in Puncak. But usually, if you get a good run, it'll take an hour and a half, 2 hours. But we were there 6 hours. Just stuck. And then the devotee was telling me, Maharaj, you know, sometimes the people, especially if there's holiday, the people plan, and they all like coming out to the hills here. They plan to go here for a holiday, but sometimes they don't even arrive there. Good, they told me. It's quite often, they don't even arrive there. They're just stuck in the traffic. They can't go forward, they can't go backward, they can't go anywhere. They're stuck. Gridlock. And so luckily for them, there's all sorts of people walking up and down and selling things, selling food. So they just camp out. This is our holiday in the car. And then they wait and they wait and they wait. And so they just resign themselves. This is our holiday now. We won't get to the place. So therefore, let's make the best of the situation. We're here in the car. This one's selling this. Let's all sit around, have something to eat. And then when the traffic clears, then we'll turn around and try to go home again. Because there's no question of going to the place, because the booking's now gone. We were supposed to be there 2 days ago, but now we have to go back home, if we can get back home. So this is becoming worse and worse and worse. Now, I was just with one devotee. He said he was in Sao Paulo, which is in Brazil. He said now there it's got so bad that they have on the number plates, the ones with the ending in the odd number, that day they cannot drive. And then only the one with the even number can drive that day. And then the next day is the other one's turn. Then they can drive their car that day. And he said if there's a big festival or a big holiday or something like that, sometimes they'll say for 3 days they won't allow these numbers to go. It's becoming so, and it's becoming worse and worse and worse and worse. They've got no solution for it, actually. They try to build more and more roads, but the more and more roads they build, the more and more they become full up. And then, of course, the pollution and everything like that. Oh, just a hellish situation. So whether it's a factory or whether it's a city, you could actually almost say that the city is another name for the hell. Because maybe in this city we don't feel it so much, although we're starting to feel more and more in the smaller places, but many big cities of the world becoming so much a problem now just to go somewhere. No question of recreational driving anymore. You know, in the old days, let's go for the drive somewhere. No question like that. You're just trying to survive. You're just trying to get to some place, what to speak of. Enjoy, no question of enjoying. Better to walk. Actually, I was seeing some people walking. They were passing us. Even in Sydney, they say, actually, they did a survey many years ago that they said that now Sydney's all sprawling out also. And they said, now, 50 years ago, or no, 100 years ago, 100 years ago, if someone lived in Parramatta, which is a suburb, I guess it's about 20, 25 kilometres out west, and said that it would take them by horse and buggy to get into the central Sydney 1 hour, by horse and buggy. Now today, with all the latest inventions, it takes 1 hour also. Because of the traffic, everything like that. Even they made the freeways, it still takes 1 hour. So is there any advancement? By horse and buggy, it could be an hour. And now, it still takes 1 hour. Actually, now it takes more than 1 hour. So you could say, you could conclude, actually, that actually then they were better off because it took less. And it was a more, calmer and peaceful travel. Just like now in Mayapur, probably all of you have gone from Calcutta out to Mayapur. It's a very, I call it the worst road in India. So it is the pothole, if there's a crash or something like that. I mean, one time I went down there, the railway boom went down and somehow it got stuck. They couldn't get it up. We were stuck for 6 hours. No one could move, both directions, because they were stuck. Somehow or other they couldn't fix it. Stuck. So it's becoming worse and worse, and every year worse, every year worse. So now, of course, we're trying to organise now, as I'm involved in Mayapur, we're trying to organise different alternate... we've got a helicopter service, but that is for VIPs, but it's a little bit expensive. But also now, by October, we're going to have a fast boat, 40-seat boat. That we're already made an order. We're being made in Thailand and with Volvo engines and everything like that. It's going to be 40 seat and it'll be like airplane seats on there. And you'll come out, there'll be prasadam and everything like that. It'll take around about the same time, but it'll be much more pleasant. Much more pleasant going up the Ganga. Like that. Takes that. We could have got a more faster boat, but the motors and everything, a little bit... hard to service in India, and so maybe we'll look into that. We can get a more faster one, maybe cut it to 2 hours. But also we're working with the central government, who have got a plan, we found out last year, to resurrect all the, in the Second World War, the British has made a lot of airstrips around India in the regional areas to, assist in the war efforts. They made a lot of, and of course, over time they've become disused. But now the central government wants to bring up the tourists and wants to link more regional areas. And so they're looking at if these old airfields can be fixed again, repaired, and brought up to the standard. And so there is one not so far away from my port. It's about 45 minutes that they're looking to. So we're working with them because they're looking to repair and some of the smaller, not the big jumbos or anything like, but some of the smaller jets. So maybe, possibly in a few years' time, we'll be able to have. And Prabhupada did want an airport, our own airport at Trinamayapur. We have our own airport. So we've actually brought out the helicopter there. It's if you've ever been there, Bumsi Bhavdan, it lands near there, over that side. So, but that's more for that. That only carries about 8 people. But the boat will be good. So when that's up and running, we'll let you know. But anyway, so these things, so traffic and pollution and working hard, non-stop all day, and then to get some relief. Now, Prabhupada explains in many places, really there's people don't really start enjoying it. Really, what they're doing is trying to find relief from their distress, from working so hard, and then they go home, or they don't go home, they go for drinking or something like that. You know, the research shows that most arguments in the home start in the first 5 minutes when the couple comes home. First 5 minutes. Because everyone, they're working so hard, they're so frustrated, so pent up, that they come home and they're like ready to explode. So anything sets them off. But generally they say it's like that, the first 5 minutes. And you know, they argue or something and it's like that. Actually, one time I was somewhere and I had to get the taxi from the airport to the temple. And I was talking to the fellow. Anyway, he was talking to me. And he was just saying everything. You know, sometimes people tell everything to strangers. He's just telling his whole life. He's suffering and there's some relationship problem with the wife and arguing all the time, every day. So he says, and now he doesn't go home so much. He just drives around the taxi. He said, because I was late at night. He said, he's still driving, you know, and we had to cut it. They'd got in a late flight or something. So he was still driving around. He said, I just drive around and then I go to the pub. And I go home, and I go home when I know she's in sleep. Then I go home. So what is it? It's laughing. He was laughing, I was laughing, and we laughed together. But but there was a kind of a serious tone to it. So it's such a situation. Unfortunate. It's sad that people end up like that. But what do they know? They're in ignorance. That's the problem. They're just in ignorance. And just they're forced to just keep going. They're locked in. People get locked in, isn't it? You just get locked in. Even if you want to do something else, it's very difficult to do it. Because and a lot of it depends on what decisions you make earlier in your life. So you go to school, you go to university, you get a degree, okay, you're going to go into a certain job. You get locked in, you go into that job, you get locked in, and then you make some money, then you buy the house, and you've got to pay off the house, so you're locked. Locked in. Even if you wanted to do something or not, you cannot do it. Yeah, you've got the big house, you have to pay all the bills, this and that and the other. So people have to conform. Have to conform to so many demands of materialistic society. And although in illusion they're thinking, well, you know, I can choose this and choose, but your freedom is very limited. You will have freedom up to a certain point and not beyond that. Not beyond that. But because we have some sort of minute independence and freedom, we're thinking we're free. But it's actually an illusion. Superhuman power is actually controlling, here Prabhupada says, the material nature under the direction of the Supreme Personality of God. So one is rotating in the cycle of repeated birth and death. So Lord Brahma is feeling sorry for them. Lord Brahma is a liberated soul. He is enlightened from within, first created being. And so the liberated souls like Lord Brahma and so many others feel sorry and they want to put forward the means to how to overcome, how to come out of this, how to come out. And sometimes they have to present it, you know, they present it in a nice way, but sometimes they have to present it a little firmly also to wake people up. So like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example of the boy who's playing on the roof with the kite. He's playing on the roof with the kite and he's not looking where he's running. And at any moment he could fall off the roof. So some man's walking past. He says, "Hey, wait, be careful, you're not looking where you're going, you're flying with the kite and just running, but you could fall off." But the boy is just ignores. So the man has to be more emphatic. You'll fall down, you'll hurt yourself. So sometimes we see these statements of great personalities like Lord Brahma. I've just been giving a Bhagavatam class in Adelaide and also in Perth. Narad Muni also. These are the Mahajans. The Mahajans. They're authorized to teach. The people are so entangled. To get out of it is virtually impossible. You know, even on a material level, you know, on a level that you work and you buy a house, even on that level, what to speak of, you know, birth, death, old age, and disease? That's a whole other level, isn't it? That's a whole other level of control. We're controlled on so many levels. You know, even if you somehow or other get through all these other levels and restrictions and conditions and trials and tribulations, still at the end there's death, there's birth again. You have to go through the whole thing again and again and again. And of course, what you'll be in your next life, who knows? If you're working, it'll be according to your consciousness, your activities, your karma. Krishna, God is with you, he knows, he sees it, he arranges next life. So what you'll be in your next life? You're doing all your this life, and then next life, what is the situation? You don't know. Maybe you'll come back as the dog, as the cat, as the bird, as the tree, the fish, the cockroach. Who's to say? According to your activities. So it's very sad that the liberated souls are very saddened to see that the people are going around, and then the human life comes, and very quickly, very, very quickly it expires, this life. Of course, when someone is young, they think from one year to the next is a very long time. But as one gets older, then 1 year, 5 years is not so long. As you get 10 years is not so long, 20 years, when you get older. Not so very quickly it goes, very, very quickly. It's like one godbrother of mine said he many years ago. He went to see his grandfather, who was in the hospital. He was approaching death. He was 96, 96 years old. So approaching death, and he was talking to him, and he said, "Grandfather, so what stands out in your life over all the years and everything like that? What sort of impresses you? And he said, "You know, it seems like yesterday I was 25. He said, "Everything went past so quick." He said, "Seems like yesterday I was 25, now 96. He said, "Everything's finished up." And the material, they don't know what is the next position. So all these people are destined to rotate in the cycle, and then the great sages try to help them. So therefore, Prabhupada is very strong on who should give this information to the people in general, because it's very, very difficult to get out of it. And if you've got all sorts of people giving false information or misleading information, it just makes it more difficult for those who actually really want to help to actually help the situation. And just like, you know, sometimes there's a crash, there's an accident, you know, some people they're seriously injured, they're lying, and then the police come, the ambulance come. So all the people may want to come in, but what do? They stand back. Stand back, isn't it? Don't come in here, because the experts are coming in here. They will take care of it. If you all try to come in here, they'll make the whole thing complicated. Maybe someone want to pick the person up. Maybe they've broken their back, or maybe it'll be the worst thing for them. So even though you're well-intentioned, what is that saying? That paved with good intentions. What is it? What was the first part? That's another version. Yeah. All right, we'll use that one. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. You may be well-intentioned, you want to help, but if you don't know how to help, then you're just going to cause trouble. Say the surgeon's in there, he has to do the surgery on the injured father or mother, he has to do the surgery. So the relatives are outside, they rush in, they all want to do something. What sort of situation? No, they have to wait outside. So Prabhupada very strongly, he says, that those who are not liberated, those who are not authorized, they should not present something as if it is some absolute thing that now you all have to follow this thing. Because if you're not authorized to speak, you're not enlightened, you're not in the liberated position, you won't help the situation. You'll just complicate it. You may make it worse. You may make it worse. So don't speak. So one has to be a certain type of person. Even one may be a good speaker if they're not liberated. Maybe someone's a good speaker but they're not living the life themselves, and that speaking will not have so much effect, that, you know, it won't be so potent. Actually, there's one famous statement by one acharya. He says, those people, they should just go in a room, lock the door and preach to themselves. So even those people, what to speak of someone who doesn't actually know it, or they think they know, there's another thing, they think they know, they're all of a sudden, they're the experts, right? Sometimes people, you know, put themselves like that. You know, I had a friend, he was always the expert on everything, whatever it was, he knew, even though he didn't know, but he knew, whatever subject. Photography. Oh, yes. I can tell you all the thing. But then when we tried some of the things, there was a disaster. And then we went and talked to the expert. Who was giving you this information? We know exactly who it was. But this person, he wanted to assert himself as the expert. If you're not actually expert, then let the expert do. Because if you go forward, and then you will just complicate and confuse the whole thing and maybe make it even worse. And then have to create more effort for the person who actually is the expert to right the situation. He has to undo all your, to again, you understand? Therefore, that's why Prabhupada, I was reading through then, I just noted that how emphatic he was, those who are on the different levels. The principles of religion are not open to ordinary living entities. It's a very important point. They're not open, and I know, as I said in the beginning, Prabhupada used to say that he is not a liberated person. Prabhupada just dismissed, when I asked this question, he was the president of India at the time. And he just dismissed him. He said, but what does he know? He is not a liberated person. One has to be liberated. Then they can give. And then that is passed down. And then you follow. But the original, and of course, Dhammam tu shakshat bhagavat prane, this is quoted here. Navai virurisha napi devaha. The actual religious principles are given by the Supreme Personality of God. And he enlightens the great rishis, the maharishis like Lord Brahma, and great personalities. He says, Svayambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Kumura, Kapino, Manu, Parada, Janaka, Bhishmo, Bali, Vaishiki, Vayam. Who were the ones he named? Who can remember? Who was one? Who was one of the great Mahajans? Hands? Yes. Who was some of the Mahajans? Svayambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Kumara, Kapiloman. I'm practically saying them. So first, Svayambhu. Who is the Svayambhu? Lord Brahma. Svayambhu, unborn. He is great authority. Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma says something. Oh, we listen. He is great authority. What is the credential of this person? Just like someone can say, I'm doctor. Come, you have great, I have to do the surgery. But wait a minute, first of all, let's see. You're going to just like that? You're going to sit, go on the table and get the surgery? First of all, see what his credential, isn't it? Is he actually doctor? Is he actually surgeon? Oh, I was just reading an article in India. They have a big problem now that so many are putting them forward as doctor, surgeon, this, but actually just forging. Not actually. This is a big problem. So first of all, you have to find out. So Brahma, of course, Narada. Sambhu, who is Sambhu? Lord Shiva, he is great authority. Lord Shiva, Lord Narada, Kumara, who is the Kumara? Four Kumara, they are great authority. They are enlightened from within. Great Maharishi, these are Maharishis. They're not ordinary. Maharishis, they're not ordinary. And therefore, the principles are not open to ordinary living, not ordinary living entity. These are great personalities. Lord Kapila, Manu. Manu is a great authority. Prahlad Maharaj. Janak. Janak Maharaj. Who is that? Sita's father. Sita's father is a great self-realized soul. And we were reading, of course, on Lord Ram's appearance day. We were telling some stories. Janak Maharaj. Great, very liberate. He was doing his duty as king. But actually, many great sages came to him for instruction. Came to him. He was the king. Doing his duty just to set example. But actually he was self-realized. Janak Maharaj. Bhishma. Bhishma Dev. Bali. Vyashiki. Vayam. Lord Yamaraj. Vyashiki is Sukadev. And then Yamaraj. Lord Yamaraj. Lord Yamaraj, he is a great authority. These ones. And these are the great Mahajans recognized all over the universe. They can give you the transcendent knowledge. And then, of course, we have great Acharyas in the line of the disciplic succession. Someone asked me recently that, I think in Indonesia, someone said, oh, we have so many Bhagavad Gitas and this like that. How do we know which one is the best one? I say, well, who is giving that presentation of the Bhagavad Gita, giving the translation and the commentary? You have to see who is that person. What is their authority to present it? Are they in the line of the disciplic succession? Who is their guru? Where originally? What is their situation? Then you will see like that. And then if you see, oh yes, just like in the front of our Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada puts all the whole line. What is the sampradaya? What is the parampara? Isn't it? But then, you know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, they come in the line, they have heard from the Guru. So this is the way. Following in the footsteps of the great liberated souls. And so this is very, very necessary. Necessary for uplifting misguided persons, because unless one gets this transcendent knowledge in the right way, then they're going to just continue on and on and on, going in the cycle of the birth and death. So Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I'll read this verse again. Text 10. Such non-devotees engage their senses in very troublesome and extensive work, and they suffer insomnia at night because their intelligence constantly breaks their sleep with various mental speculation. They are frustrated in all their various plans by supernatural power. Even great sages, if they are against your transcendent topics, must rotate in this material world. All right. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Any questions or comments? But you are following what is being presented by the great Acharya. chariots. So you're hearing, and then you're not on the level of the great liberator, not yet. But because you're hearing, just like Prabhupada used to say, just like the father will tell the son, the young boy, 1 + 1 = 2. Repeat, 1 + he doesn't understand, but he's correct. Maybe he doesn't fully understand how 1 + 1 = 2, but he's repeating, and then he'll tell someone else, 1 + 1 = 2. He is correct. Maybe he doesn't. So you follow like that. When I was a new bhakta, I wasn't allowed to preach to anyone yet. in the Sunday program, I had to sit next to the senior devotee. Of course, in those days, senior devotee means he was in the movement 2 months before me. Anyway, we had to sit next to the senior devotee and listen how they are preaching. How they were preaching. And hear how he's presenting. And then we had to, then we had what, in those days, we had what we called the classes at night, Bhagavad Gita class. And then at the end, there was 5-10 minutes just for the new bhaktas to give the class. And in the sitting were all the Brahmin pandits carefully listening what you were saying. If you said something wrong, you have to be corrected. So therefore, we had a system like that. So of course, it was a little bit difficult sometimes when you were pulled up from on every second word or whatever. And although, you know, I was devotee for a little time, I found I really didn't know. When it came time to giving class, there was like 5-10 minutes slotted, and after 2 minutes, I'd finished. I ran out of things to say. So then I realized I have to do a lot more reading, a lot more studying, a lot more hearing. So by hearing from the authorities, then we can speak. You just repeat. Don't manufacture, concoct, don't speculate. I think this, I think that. I remember one time we were walking with Prabhupada in the botanical gardens here. And Prabhupada, he wanted to know the name of the tree. And so he asked, I think Prabhupada is a such and such tree. And Prabhupada said, you think? You don't know? You think? Then he asked another, you go and see. And then he came back and told him, see, you were wrong. He said, don't think, no. Don't speculate. Just find out, and then you can present that thing. Another time, one devotee brought up something, a scene, gospel or something like that, and you know, the Christian thing. And they said that Jesus did like that, and he went to India and all this type of thing like that. And Prabhupada said, so he said, what do you think, Prabhupada? Should we use this? He said, maybe, perhaps it might be the situation. But he said, it can be shaky ground, he said, because maybe it's not. He said, better stick to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. They are solid. They are authorized. This one, maybe not. Who has done the interpretation? You may be challenged. And then you are on the shaky position. So we stick to Srimad Bhagavatam. We stick to Bhagavad Gita. We stick to the ancient shastras as presented by the acharya. Then it's solid. Prabhupada was very, very strong on speaking in a very authorized way. Very authorized. One time he said, we should be like lawyers. You should be able to refer to, just like lawyers refer to previous judgments and this and that, and they, you know, so we have to be like that. We have to, you know, if we're presenting something, we have to back it with from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, like that. We have to be able to refer. He said, when we present something, we should be like that. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai, Sri Sri Radha Ballabha ki, Jai, Jagannath Balarev, Sri Bhadra Devi ki, Jai, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai ki, Jai, Gaur Premanandi ki.